Welcome to another episode of the Sister Girls Podcast with your girl Cherie, the sister girl next door. On this episode, I got a chance to interview Black contemporary romance author Bailey West. I was so interested in speaking to her because this was her first time writing a new book, and I wanted to know, you know, before the authors go into their 10th book and their 15th book and, you know, well into their careers, what it's like for the author who's just come out with a book. How do they feel? What was their process like? What is the story behind the new author, the new kid on the block? I think it's always interesting to get the story, you know, when the author's at the beginning of their career or anybody's at the beginning of their career. So be sure to subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud. Visit thesistergirlnextdoor.com. Follow me on Instagram at thesistergirlnextdoor. And I'm on Twitter, Cherie Writes. If you are following the Sister Girls Book Club, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. On Twitter is Sister Girls BC and Instagram is Sister Girls Book Club. And that's SISTAHGIRLS Book Club. Enjoy the interview. So thank you so much, Bailey West, for joining me on this interview. It's so great to have you. Say hello to the people.
Hey, everybody. And thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, especially because, like I said on the intro, I was so excited to get a first-time author. If anybody knows me, I like new stuff. I like new authors. I like new music. I like new art. I like fresh voices to the scene. And I think you brought to me something very fresh that I don't know if I actually thought your book was going to be what it was. So before we get into the book, let me ask you the question that I ask everybody. What made you want to become a writer?
You know, this is so funny because I can honestly say that I never really had the ambition to be a writer. Mm-hmm. I've always been a journaler. You know, I love journals. So I can sit down and write down like the events of the day or things that I'm grateful for or, you know, milestones that may have happened in my life or in my family's life. But really, like, being a writer or author just really was never my ambition. But after refinding my love of reading, mm-hmm. and, you know, finding out about the indie community, because I didn't even know it existed. Mm-hmm. I had a story in my head and I felt like I just wanted to put it on paper. And so that was Blues Beauty.
Wow. And where are you from? I hear accent, so I'm trying to pick it up.
I'm actually from St. Louis, Missouri. So, it was easy for me to write about my hometown because that's where I'm from, born and raised.
Wow, and it was so funny because I was going to ask you, I'm like, well, do you have any roots in St. Louis? And because the book, obviously, you know, a lot of times people write about where they are from or where they visited. So it's interesting that you said that. So what was your job before writing, or what is your current job?
Actually, my current job, I am an auditor. So I'm an auditor for the federal government.
Oh, wow. So you the people.
Yeah.
You the people.
Right. I don't work for the IRS.
Oh. But you still the people,
just
though.
Just as scary. Right. Just as scary. So when I call people, you know, they're not looking forward to my visit. But, yeah, that's what I do every day in New York.
And is that the reason why you chose to switch up your name? Because I know you as another name, so I'm not going to say what the name is, obviously, because you chose your writer's name for a reason. And so I thought it was interesting because you're a part of the Sister Girls Book Club, so shout out to you being a part of
that. Shout out to the book club.
Yes, which I thought was very good, and that's how I know you, so I know your first and last name from there. And then when you came out with the book, I was like, wow, the name changed. And so what made you change the name? Was it because of the job that the career that you're in, or you just wanted to, you know, switch it up?
It was because of the career, but also because of the nature of the book that I was writing. Mm-hmm. To be honest, when I first started writing Blues Beauty, I was afraid that because it is so heavily based in church, that the church people would have a problem with sex, you know, mm-hmm. which they do. So I decided that to remove myself, you know, my first name from it, to do something different and just put it out there just as, you know, a regular author and not, you know, as my actual name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. So
yeah.
what were you afraid was going to happen? Because I think this is, when I read the book, I was kind of in the middle myself, because I was just like, well, I'm open-minded, so I really didn't, it didn't, like, throw me over. But that was the one thing I thought, I was like, what the church folks going to say about this one?
That was my thing, because, see, I was born and raised in church, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily born, but raised in church. My dad was a minister, and I'm very familiar with how, you know, the church mindset works. And to equate, you know, to have a Christian-based novel and to have sexual encounters in the novel that are actually described, you know, I just knew that it was going to give people a problem. So, but I had to write it because I had to get it out of my head. And the thing that really encouraged me to just push through is actually read one of Love Belvin's novels. And I was like, look, if this can be in here, then I'm just going to go ahead and do it because I have to. And, you know, I'm not a Love Belvin by any stretch of the imagination, but I just knew that if she could get it out there and if she could put it in a book and I received it, but I'm open-minded, you know, then I would. But what I did was I let some of the older people that are in my life that are Christians read it first, some women, and just saw what they thought, but they all really liked it, so I just rolled with it.
Yeah, because I was wondering, I was about to say, well, did the mother of the church read the book? Did the sister circle, you know, Heavenly Gates read the book or something, you know, at the... And I think that's what's so fascinating to me about your work was that it infused traditional Christian, I think, beliefs within the Black church. And I think that it kind of made things more realistic. And I think that's one of the things that I kept hearing about this book because I was so interested. I think that, you know, if you follow the book club, the Sister Girls Book Club, you know that I'm always asking people what new book, what new author. And so I remember, I don't think you actually said you were coming out with a book to me personally, but you kind of hinted towards it. And I was like, well, let me read what this is about. And when I first saw the description of the book, I was just like, well, what is the genre? Is it I immediately thought it was Christian, I guess, romance. And then when I started to read it, I didn't know what to categorize. Like, I'm not trying to be fair. I didn't know where to place it because on the one hand, I was like, well, this is a Christian, you know, romance story, like full out, in my opinion, because it was so heavily involved within the church. But at the same time, because it really went there, it wasn't to me done in like a classless or a tasteless way, which I actually thought was very cool. It was done with, we're a human. Like, this is what actually happens. You think that the preacher and the pastors and the deacons and the first ladies and how do you think that, you know, the kids got here? So I thought that it was actually interesting that you chose to, you know, explore sex and love in a way that I think had never been done before. You know, in a way that was just, I don't know, it kind of, it was a breath of fresh air to me in literature because I haven't seen it done. Like, it was always one way or the other way. It was either we're going to have a Christian romance love story and it was going to be very cookie cutter, or it was going to be the opposite. Whereas when I say the opposite, I mean that the character, one of the characters probably left the church. You know what I mean? So at the beginning, you see them leave and then they go and do whatever they want and maybe they come back. But this was like, these are people who actively go to church and, you know, they actively are heavily in the church. So why did you think it was important to be so open about sex in the book?
Because growing up, being an adult in church, actually, I shared with a story one time where I was living in another place and I was going to a church, and we had this meeting where the husbands went into one room to talk, and the wives were in another room, and the topic was supposed to be sex. So I rubbed my hands together, sat back in my seat like, oh, we said, like, let's for real talk about it, you know, let's see where everybody else is. So everybody was asking these real, talking real vague, you know, like we all married in here, we can really have conversations. So I raised my hand. And I was like, so, what about anal sex? and the room's like, pin drop. Like, nobody will respond. I'm like, but if we talking about sex for real, let's have a for real conversation. Like, what if I don't orgasm? What if I, you know, if you're going to say you were talking about sex, then let's be honest about it. And a problem that I have with the church is that we're not really honest about sex. Like, mm-hmm. the main thing you're going to hear people say in church is, don't do it. You know, the Lord will keep you. You know, and come on, God made us sexual beings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can full on agree with waiting until you get married, but I can't totally understand when you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, so then what do we do? Mm-hmm. How do we talk about it? How do we address it? And that's a problem that I have. And it's kind of just like shining a light on that, because it needs to be a discussion. Like, we mm-hmm. can't have these teenagers in the church of these young women and not tell them, girl, you gonna get wet thinking about this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, or he's going to tell you some things that's going to make you want to spread wide open. You know, we got to be honest. You know, but we're not saying that. We're just saying the Lord to keep you. And then when the Lord don't keep us in the sense of what they're telling us, then we feel like, oh, church not for me. You know, I can't do this. God don't love me. But it's not true, because we all have those feelings. And I think that it's important to discuss it.
I think that what, you know, honestly, when you said anal sex, and if I would have been sitting in the sister circle of whatever the long name is, because I grew up in church as well, I kind of gasped too. And I think, and that's so crazy, because I don't even have a gasp. Like, if I was somewhere else, it would just be like girls hanging out and talking. It wouldn't even, it would fly over my, I mean, it really wouldn't, it would roll off my back like it wasn't nothing. But why is it? Maybe, I don't know if you can answer that question, but since you mm-hmm. wrote a book that kind of openly discussed sex, why do you think that is such a big deal? Like, you can actually come to the altar to pray your sins away if you murdered somebody, or if you were a drug dealer, they will open you open arms, and you could discuss that, and you could discuss maybe even, you know, having, you know, thoughts about suicide. You can discuss all of those, I guess, thoughts that would just be kind of like still taboo. But when it comes to sex, it's like almost a no-no, like a big no-no. And it made me gasp. And I'm just like, dang, where did that come from, even in me, that when you said anal sex, I probably would have been like, girl, she gonna get it now, sister. Anna May coming for her. You know, even I was just like, oh my God. And I'm like, that's crazy, because I don't even have that type of like judgment on any. I mean, I'm very, you know, I would say non-conservative in certain areas. So I'm just like, but it still made me gasp. And I'm thinking, like, you know, why do you think that is, and how do you think that we can kind of move forward from it? I know that's like a totally off topic, but I feel like it's still necessary, especially from you, an author that is actually taking it there.
Yeah, I think that part of the problem is that for so long in church, mm-hmm. We have been taught the rules and regulations, but we haven't really been taught relationship. Mm-hmm. And so the important thing about that we should really talk about is relationship with God. Like, then, because when we have a relationship with God, then he can direct us. But because we don't talk about that, because we make up so many rules and regulations, then sex is just falling into those, you know, 1, 2, 3 things that you are not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And so we just make up all of these strict guidelines and rules as far as what people are supposed to do. And a lot of the times, not all the time, but a lot of the times, the ones who are so heavily preaching against it mm-hmm. are the ones who are having the most problem with it. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to articulate it, because they grew up in church. They didn't talk about it. Their parents didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we never sit down with our kids to tell them, you know, tell our daughters, you know, your hand may find its way between your legs at some point. You know what I'm saying? You may have something that you want to do to pleasure yourself, because, you know, we don't talk like that to our daughters. Mm-hmm. And so then our daughters pass it on to our granddaughters, and they don't talk like that. You know, somebody mm-hmm. has to start the conversation. And because the conversation has never been had, then people just can't talk about it, mm-hmm. you know, because they don't know how. But sit down with me, I'll tell you.
I know, right? I'm like, let me go hang out with Bailey for a day, and she'll set you straight. So just moving, changing it a little bit, but not too much. How long did it take you to write this story?
It took me almost a year to write this story.
Wow, okay.
It took me a long time, mostly because when I initially started putting it on paper, I just was like typing out words. Mm-hmm. I wasn't using no quotation marks. I wasn't commas, periods. You know, I just was typing. Mm-hmm. And then I sat down and looked at it. I'm like, this is like one of the dumbest things that I've ever done. So I had to start back again and go back and add punctuation. And then I had to start researching how to actually publish the book. That took time, you know, and it just took. And then at the end, though, when I really got finished with the book, I got scared. And I just sat on it for a second because I was nervous about putting it out, you know, because of the content, but also because I'd never done it before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy that you put it out. I thought it was really lovely. It was a lovely love story. I really enjoyed it. But, you know, that's just me. I'm very, you know, I love a good story. So,
yeah.
What a lot of, I think, readers or viewers, and I think we can all agree on for the people who really enjoyed the book, was that the characters were really, really well thought out. To me, that's what I enjoyed most. I felt like, number one, it was a long book. It was, I'm not saying that the long book is bad. It's actually good for me because I like to read a long read. I like series. But the book is about 400 and something pages. That was initially when I first saw the book. And I look, because I'm one of those people, I look at the book, I look at the cover, I look at the synopsis of the book, I scroll down to see the page count, and then I go to the worst review if it's not a new book. Because I always want to see what are people saying. The bad reviews don't make me, it doesn't make me not buy the book. I just want to see what people have said. I look at the good reviews and the bad reviews, but I always look at the bad reviews as well. And the page count, I was like, oh, wow, this is a long book. Either it's going to be really good or it's going to be sometimes I feel like a little bit redundant. And I feel like sometimes with anything, a movie, a story, any type of storyline, it's hard to keep it a steady pace where it's going to keep the reader interested. And I thought that you really did a really great job at doing that. So what character spoke to you first?
Roman spoke to me first.
Mm-hmm.
Roman spoke to me first because of his growing up in church. So I could relate to him a lot. So he was first, and I knew his end, honestly, before I knew his beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So then after he spoke, then Zanetta came along.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, you know, married them together. Now all those other characters that was in there, they just popped up as the book went along. I didn't even know who would be where, but Zanetta, yeah, Roman spoke first and then Zanetta.
Mm-hmm. And so how long did it take you to, like, kind of flesh out how everything was going to flow?
I knew the flow almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
When I started writing. It was just getting them from the beginning to the end. And not, like you said, making it redundant. Because I love to read. I love good books. And even a bad book, I can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to make sure that that the characters stay fresh and the events stay relevant to the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I basically knew almost immediately how I wanted it to go. But it was just, you know, putting it all on paper.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I really liked about this book, especially in the beginning, was that it was kind of hard-hitting. It was, you know, a lot of sadness for the most part.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, I don't know if I'm alone on this, but this, since we're talking, I can say what I want. I really liked that you didn't, you made death and you made life and you made love and you made all of that. You made it human. You humanized it. You didn't make it become this, like, grand gesture that, you know, sometimes God kills, you know, people or people die. You didn't make it have this, like, superficial or, like, great, like, you know, this amazing, you know, reason for death or this reason that people get sick. You just kept it on a human level that sometimes people get sick and sometimes they die, you know. And uh-huh. Even, like, the accidents with Zanetta and her mom and her dad, you made the accidents regular. It wasn't like, you know, well, sometimes God just takes us, you know what I mean? It wasn't that level of, you know, if I read this book and I wasn't a Christian, or I didn't go to church a lot, or, you know, maybe I wasn't heavily into spirituality, I could read it and still feel like you're not preaching to me. So how important was it to make sure that you put the Christian faith in it, but not sound so preachy?
That was one of my biggest fears. And when I would have people read, you know, certain excerpts of it as I was writing it, I would always ask, is it too preachy? You know, because I don't want to be preachy. I didn't want it to be, but I wanted it to relay a message, even about death. I wanted it to relay a message about love. I wanted it to relay a message about starting over. You know, I wanted to have those messages in there. And I even wanted to be able to use scripture, but I didn't want anybody to feel like they were sitting in, you know, Mount Zion Baptist Church on Sunday morning with deacons singing the songs. And, you know, the pastor coming over with the robe on, because I just don't subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted people to feel it, because I felt it when I wrote it. I mean, I cried, you know, when the death happened. I cried as I wrote it, and I laughed and smiled when they got together. Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things. I went through all of those same emotions that everybody else went through. And one of the more important things that I like about, I think, good literature always portrays a real human life. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're telling me it's a fantasy, then okay. But even fantasy, I'd be like, okay, that's a lie. You know, that tree did not just grow those dollar bills and you snatched them all. You know, mm-hmm. I don't really like that. I like human stories. Mm-hmm. So that's why I tried to make sure that I made everything stay really relevant and human, because when somebody dies, I don't care how much you're a Christian, I don't care how much you go to church and how much you love God, that hurts. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to be that stupid person that comes and say, well, the Lord got him in a better place. No, the best place was here with me. You know, that's how you feel. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I wanted to really relay in the message, in the book, that even though, you know, the characters love God, they still had that actual hurt from losing somebody, because mm-hmm. death is not fun, period.
Mm-hmm. What I also really loved about the storyline was that you see two characters or two people in the story, Roman and you see Zanetta, they have the same thing happen to them, but they choose two very different paths. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, people put that together. It's not like you were hiding it. Well, whereas Zanetta, she loses her parents early on. She has a lot of, she gets in a car accident. She has almost, I don't want to say every reason to say that, you know, God is not in her favor, but she kind of kept the faith and she kept going. Even when she got into a crummy relationship, she stayed, you know, she stayed true and she kept moving. And then on the other hand, you have Roman, who has this, you know, bad thing happen to him with his wife and everything else. And then he chooses to actually abandon everything. And then you kind of see how their lives, you know, end up. Not good or bad. Uh-huh. It's just that you can see how people can just say, it can be one big thing, one small thing, and then they can kind of turn away from, I guess, their faith or their religion or, you know, who they call God. So I wanted to know, did you do that on purpose, or is that just how the story just kind of naturally flowed?
I did it on purpose. I did it on purpose because I know of people in both situations. I know of people who have had traumatic situations in their life, and they've completely turned away from the faith totally. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I know people who have gone through as much as Annette or even more and have, you know, held on. Mm-hmm. You know, they have kept the faith. And it's such a thin line. It's such a really thin line between the two. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody is better than the other one. It's just the choices that you make in that moment of mourning or in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of did it on purpose.
So will you keep writing Christian-based romance once this series is over, or will you, like, delve into just straight Black contemporary? Are you going to go into different genres?
I think that I'm going to not lean. I don't know. I was going to try to give you an answer.
Yeah, you
I
can say really you don't sure. know. It's not horrible.
Yeah, I don't really know, because I don't know where I'm going after this, because I didn't even really know this sure, you know, so mm-hmm. I don't really know where I'm going from here. I know that because I am a Christian, you know, that everything that I write will probably have some type of reference to Jesus, to God, you know, mm-hmm. but I don't know if it'll be so heavily influenced by the church, the next stories that I write.
Mm-hmm. So, What is the hope that you have for readers moving forward with your books, new readers, and, you know, whatever project you have coming up next?
I think that my hope for the readers is to finish my book and feel like you have some hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because right now in the world, with everything that's going on politically, you know, with everything that's going on economically, there is a sense of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you look at the news every day or you read, you know, on the internet, you scroll it on your timeline, and everything is so hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I keep asking, like, I just keep saying something has got to change. And so when I read books, I like for those books to take me somewhere, give me a new idea, you know, give me a new perspective. And so when people read my book, I want them to walk away feeling hopeful,
mm-hmm.
you know, that things can be better, no matter what the situation is, that things can change, because they do. Nothing is permanent. You know, everything has its season. It filters in your life and it filters out, you know. And so it's in that filtering process, it's in that in-between process that we have the hardest time. But if we can just get to the end, things will get better, you know, mm-hmm. and that's really what I want people to get from the book.
And I think you did that really well with this book. And I think for me as a reader, it was a lot of times I was like, girl, I need to get a highlighter for this one. I'm not, you know, just saying it just to say this, but I think it definitely will speak to a lot of readers in many ways. People who are from the Christian faith and people who are just, you know, just want to read a book. And I think that's what I love about this story, is that you can be either or. You're not shunning anybody based on their religion or their background or whatever. So what does the future look like for Bailey West, the author and the person? Because I know, how does it feel, basically? I guess that's what that question is. You know, now that the book is out, now you'll be into your second book. And how does it feel? Like, what do you think the future is going to be for you as a writer and as a person now? Because you're going to be at a signing coming up. So it's different. It's different.
It is. It's so not what I expected mm-hmm. at all. And I think that I'm just taking it day by day. I don't know how to look so far into the future that I can even, predict. I have a hope that I can continue to inspire, to continue to write good stories that I like to read, you know, and other people will mm-hmm. like to read, and just connect with good people. I think that the best thing that's come out of this so far, outside of the fact that people like the book, are the connections that are being made with people, genuine people who are like, you know, I really enjoy you. I'm going to follow what you're doing. And I'm like, that's so crazy because mm-hmm. why are you following me? You know, it's so weird. It's like a weird thing. Like, you walking and you keep looking behind you like, oh, they really behind. They really are following me. And I don't even know where I'm going, you know. But I think that just the interaction with the people, because I always have said that I am a socialized introvert. Mm-hmm. So basically,
oh my God, me too.
Yes. Like, I had to like really learn how to be socialized, how to be social with people, because I can sit in the corner. I could be in a group of people and just sit in the corner and enjoy myself just in the corner, even though I'm with a group of people. You know, I could just sit and watch. I like to be by myself.
Yeah.
Even though that's not always an option, you know. So I have learned how to socialize as an introvert.
I think mine was the opposite. I don't think I ever was an extrovert. I think that I was always a person who liked to socialize, but when I'm done, I just want to be introverted. I don't want to have to deal with people anymore. And it's bad that it'll be like at a party, like who wants to sit with like, I can't pick and choose when I want to deal with people. So I think that's very interesting that you said that.
So it's been getting to know people and opening myself up to get to know people, because I've kept my circle real small for mm-hmm. a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so getting to know the people, I think that's the best thing that's come out of this. But as far as the future goes, it's just moving forward. Like, I'm working on Ezekiel's Passion right now, mm-hmm. and I feel sometimes the pressure to make sure that it's as good as the first one, you know. And so I go through all of those things in my mind, but just really letting the story tell itself, which mm-hmm. sometimes is hard. But that's my future. future. That's what I'm looking forward to the book signing and having my one little book on the table amongst all the other wonderful authors.
And like 15 books. But that is the, I promise you, I think that is the beauty of a new author. I think it's the beauty of a new writer, a new creator, a new artist, a new, I mean, I live for the new person. I live for the new kid on the block, because you know the thing about being new is that it's fresh. People are always looking for something new. And so I hope that, you know, everything that you're doing this year and even coming to the Sister Girls, you know, event in August, behind the pen, shameless plug, which
right.
is...
I love it.
I think that you will be amazed by the amount of love that you'll get, because people genuinely like your story. And, you know, of course, now listening to you talk, you're very personable, obviously. So I guess this is a set of questions that are flash questions. You basically just answer them off the top of your head. You don't give it a lot of thought and you just, you know, let it rip. So,
okay.
Favorite time of day?
Evening.
Favorite drink, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Favorite thing to do?
Be by myself.
Favorite place to write?
In my bed.
What is the book that you read that you wish you wrote?
In Love with Ezra.
Three of your top favorite authors. I'm getting tongue-tied.
Let's see. That would be Love, Belvin, of course. She's one of my top. Christina Jones. And I think from old school, Zane.
Zane, oh yeah, that was a good one. And who is Bailey West?
Bailey West is the little black girl who went to an all-white school, who was the only little black angel singing in a sleeveless t-shirt in the front of the Christmas concert. That's Bailey West. I stand out. I'm different. But at the same time, I enjoy being different. And I think that's it.
I love it. I think that was like the best way to end this interview. So where can people find you on the internet? Give out all your places that you are on the internet. Facebook, Twitter handles, Instagram.
So Instagram is Author Bailey West. Facebook, I just started a new Facebook group. It's called Bailey's Coterie. That's my private group, so you can ask to join that. I also have a public page on Facebook, Author Bailey West. And then my private Facebook is Bailey West. So everything Bailey West.
All right. Thank you so much, Bailey West, for taking the time out to hang out with me. I feel like a lot of people will appreciate your, you know, coming out here and just kind of speaking your truth. I think that was very, I like that about you. That's me just
thank
being me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I am so appreciative of all of the support that you have given me in public and in private. And, you know, you are one of the best connections that I have made in writing this book, and I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. That was, now don't make me blush, because next year we get an invoice from me. I'm just playing.
Right.
All
right,
guys. So this was the interview, and please follow Bailey West. This, I mean, I'm telling you, this is Sister Girl approved reading. You heard it from me first. This book is popping. Thank you, Bailey West, again for joining me. And bye, Sister Girls.